Today is Thursday, July the 28th, 2016. We're going to hear Rav Moshe Soloveitchik's shiur in Parshas Pinchas.
I would like to welcome all of you. I'd like to thank you very much for coming and filling up the room and helping to get rid of our fleshic food today. Yeah. We're going to be davening Marv just a few minutes after the class, and if you can take your phones and silence them, that would be very nice to do. I'd like to take the opportunity to thank those people who brought certain items and paper goods and stuff, which is very nice. And I'd also like to especially thank those that helped to set up the room with me. Some people set it up before I come. Some people helped to set it up while I'm here. But you should know that it's very much appreciated. And I would like to personally thank you people for helping.
Thank you.
We'd also like to thank Young Israel for being so generous and allowing us to have this wonderful class here. I'd also like to mention once in a while, I'd like to thank the Rebbetzin for allowing her wonderful husband and teacher and rabbi to give this class and spend the time that he does to give over very special wisdom. So thanks, Rebbetzin, for allowing him to come and do that for us. Appreciate it. And let's say a class.
All right. So this week is Parshas Pinchas, right? Whatever. Anyway, so the yud is very small in Pinchas.
I know.
You know why? Because the first two letters, the pay with the yud, is P, my mouth. Pinchas was not a person who talked much. He just did. It's a small mouth. Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. Okay, anyway.
Something was coming.
Okay.
Okay. I knew what was coming.
Says here, so Pinchas is rewarded because he killed Zimri and Cosby, who were the source of a margeva, the source of a plague, because of the sin that they were committing, caused the plague among the Jewish people. So the Torah says that God tells Moshe that he's going to reward him. What's the reward? L'chein emor, hineni nosein lo esbrisi shalom. That I give him my covenant of peace. And then he says, "V'hayisalol zaro achra bisku nasolam," and him and his descendants afterwards will have a covenant of kahuna, will be kohanim, because Pinchas was not a regular kohen at that point. All kinds of reasons are mentioned. Main reason was because he was born, he had already been born, and at the time the kahuna was given over, and the kahuna was given over to Aaron and his sons. And he was a grandson who was already born. But now, as a result of what he did, he received kahuna. So it seems that there are two things that are given over to him. One is bris shalom, a covenant of peace. What does a covenant of peace mean? So Rashi says it's a demonstration of gratitude. That's one thing. And secondly, the Ibn Ezra says that, in other words, because some people were upset with Pinchas. After all, he killed the Nasi. He killed the prince of the tribe of Shimon. So sometimes when you take action, there is a reaction. And people who might seek vengeance. So he doesn't have to worry. That's how. Now, but it's very interesting that the word shalom, brisi shalom, my covenant of peace, the vav is cut off. There are different opinions, and different Sifrei Torahs will probably have different opinions where exactly the vav is cut off. Some have cut it off just, it's like a yud on top and right underneath it, it's cut off. Their opinions are a little bit lower and then a little bit lower. There are all kinds of different opinions. The word shalom, how far the vav of shalom is cut. There are different opinions about it. If you look in the Encyclopedia Talmudis, under Vav, he shows many different opinions about it, and it really some of the opinions involve a big chiddush. But that's the Mesorah going to those opinions, because if you have a very short Vav that a child will identify as a Yud. It's under normal circumstances that's considered puzzle. That's considered puzzle. But here, if you have that shita, that's the Mesorah, so it would be allowed. But in any case, the question is, why is the vav cut off? So, I just came. I traveled from Rochester and Pennsylvania and Cleveland.
Oh, you
but,
went to
the NC? Huh? No, I didn't go to the. I wasn't at the convention. Different part. I took my son to camp. So I wasn't able to look it up, but if my memory serves me correctly, I think it's the Das Kanim of Balatosvus says that the vav is cut off because if you make believe the vav isn't there, the word is shalein, complete. When did Pinchas get the covenant of kahuna? Only when he's shalem, only when he doesn't have a mum. When he doesn't, a kohen who has some physical problem, a certain physical blemish, can serve as a kohen. So a person might have argued that's true about those who got the kahuna in the regular way. But Pinchas got his kahuna in an unusual way. So maybe the laws that disqualify other kohanim don't apply to him. So the special Xeris HaKasav, Brisi Shalom, as Brisi Shalom comes, so the vav is cut off. In other words, we should be able to read it without the vav, so it'll be Shalem. So if it's Shalem, only when he's complete can he serve as a Kohen. But if he'll ever get a blemish, or him or his descendants, will ever get a blemish. Of course, they're posel to kahuna. That, I think I saw that in the Das Kanim Mibala Tosfos years ago. So if that's the case, so brisi shalom and bris kahuna solam seem to be the same thing. It's not two separate covenants. One is connected to the other. One is connected to the other. So we have to understand what is the significance of brisi shalom. If it's connected to bris kahuna solam, in other words, the covenant of peace is connected to the covenant of kahuna, to the covenant to be a kohen. Why is it significant? Now there is a Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi asks the question, how do you know that a Kohen Meshuach Muhammad, a special Kohen was appointed to be the Kohen when the Jewish people went to war? So the Yerushalmi says, how do you know that a Kohen Meshuach Muhammad, who was appointed to be, he was, so to say, the chaplain of the army, the Kohen Meshuach Muhammad, that he could become a Kohen Gadol? So the Gemara says that we know it because it cites a pasuk from the Nevi'im that Pinchas became the Kohen Gadol. Matter of fact, the Rishonim point out that all the future Kohanim Gdolim were descendants of Pinchas. There was a disposition, even though in theory, halachically, could be any Kohen could be appointed as a Kohen Gadol, but the disposition was to appoint a descendant of Pinchas as the Kohen Gadol. So the pasuk mentions that Pinchas was appointed eventually Kohen Gadol, and we know that Pinchas was a Meshuach Muhammad. So you see that somebody who is a Meshuach Muhammad, someone who is a Meshuach Muhammad, could eventually become Kohen Gadol. Now that's one of the questions that is very often asked, because it appears that up till this point Pinchas was not yet a Kohen, and still the Medrash tells us that one of the ten things that Rosh Chodesh was special, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, was that Pinchas was appointed as a Meshuach Muhammad. Pinchas was appointed as the religious leader or teacher of the Jews when they went to war. So the question is, if he wasn't a Kohen up till this point, so how could he be? How could he have been a Meshuach Muhammad? So obviously, he was a Kohen. Pinchas, even before this, was a Kohen, but he wasn't a Kohen who could do service in the Beis Hamikdash. He couldn't do service in the Beis Hamikdash. So he couldn't do service in the Beis Hamikdash. At this point, when he got Bris Kahuna Solam, so he became qualified not only to be the Meshuach Muhammad, but he became qualified even to do service in the Beis Hamikdash. But the question is, why does the Yerushalmi need a special pasuk to tell us that a Meshuach Muhammad, that a Meshuach Milchama could be that a Meshuach Milchama could eventually become a Kohen Gadol, could become a Kohen Gadol. Why would have I thought that a Meshuach Milchama can't become a Kohen Gadol? Why would I have thought that? Now, while I'm at it, I just want to point out, we're into 3 weeks. Now, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah asks a contradiction. The contradiction is, the Pasuk in Zechariah says, Soma Revi, the fast of the fourth month at Shavas Batamas, the Tzom HaChamishi, the fast of the fifth month, that's Tisha B'Av, the Tzom HaShvi, that's Tzom Gedalia, the seventh month, the Tzom HaAsiri, that's Asara B'Teves. Yiya Leves Yisrael, L'Sason L'Simcha L'Moadim Tovim, Abel HaEmes V'Hashalom HaHavu. So will be days of Simcha, will be days of Simcha and joy. So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah asks a contradiction. You say, Tzom Revi, the fast days of the fourth month, of the fifth month, of the seventh month, and the tenth month. So it's fast days. On the other hand, you say, it's going to be Sason V'Simcha, days of joy. So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah gives an answer. The Gemara says, Bizman Shiyei Shalom, when there is peace, Yiyel Sason, be Sason V'Simcha, joy. And when there is no peace, Bizman Shiyei Gzeros, when there are decrees, it's Sason V'Simcha, it'll be days of joy. Days of joy. And we know that all the fast days in the future will become holidays. All the fast days will become holidays. So, but then the Gemara says, but what happens if there are no gzeros, there are no decrees against the Jewish people, but there is no shalom, there is no peace? So the Gemara says, Ratzu Masanim, Ratzu Ein Masanim. If the fast is a voluntary fast, except Tisha B'Av, which is, unless there is peace, is always a required fast. Okay, but, so the question is, what does it mean, Bizman Shiyei Shalom? What does it mean when there is peace? What does it mean when there is peace? It'll be days of joy. So the Rambam says that when there's peace means when Mashiach comes. I've mentioned in other words, we have all kinds of peace treaties, and the Rambam goes out of his way to quote the last words of the pasuk Avala Emes v'Hashalom Ahavu, love, truth, and peace. In other words, peace is something that we can fool ourselves. We fool ourselves, and we make believe there is peace. The only time there's going to be a real, true peace is when Mashiach comes. That's the Rambam's opinion. So according to the Rambam, the only time the fast days will be a holiday will be when Mashiach comes. However, from Rashi and the Tosfos Rid, it appears that when we say Bizman Shiyei Shalom, when there is peace, it'll be holidays, it's talking when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. When the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. Now, the question is, what does Shalom have to do with the Beis HaMikdash? The Rambam we understand very well. We understand, and there's a big argument here, and it raises certain historical questions. During the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, did the Jewish people fast on Tisha B'Av or not? According to the Rambam, the Jewish people fasted on Tisha B'Av during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, because Mashiach didn't come. However, according to Rashi and the Tosis Rid, during the time of the Beit, that Shalom means when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. That Shalom means when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. So it means during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, these fast days were holidays. These fast days were holidays during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. Tisha B'Av was a holiday. Shavuos HaBetamos was a holiday. I think that according to Rashi, it's not that it's a required holiday, but there's a special mitzvah in observing it as a holiday. Because Rashi uses the words that it's usur, it's prohibited, and hesped and tainus, and fasting. But the question is, but the pasuk says that there'll be holidays. So in other words, it will be a voluntary holiday. Since it's a voluntary holiday, so fasting will be prohibited. But it won't be a required holiday. Okay, that's just my own feeling. But in any case, but the question is, the Rashi and the Tosis Rid understands Bezman Shiyei Shalom to mean when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. What does Shalom have to do with the Beis HaMikdash being rebuilt? Now, the Gemara in Sanhedrin discusses that the three mitzvos that the Jewish people, that became incumbent upon the Jewish people when they entered Eretz Yisrael. One is to appoint a king. The second, lahachriz zaro shel Amalek, to get rid of Amalek. And the third is to build a Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara says, how do we know that it's in this specific order? So the Gemara mentions various psukim. But one of the psukim the Gemara mentions is that when did David, the pasuk in Shmuel tells us, when did David make the request to build a Beis HaMikdash? When God gave him peace from his enemies around him. So it seems being at peace is a prerequisite for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Being at peace is a prerequisite for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And we find, interesting thing is that it's not just that's when David and Amalek was one of the enemies of the Jewish people. So that's how we know there is the mitzvah of killing out Amalek was before the mitzvah of destroying building the Beis HaMikdash. But it's not just Amalek. It seems the prerequisite when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was meniach him, gave him rest, so to say, from his enemies around him, when there was no more fear of war. That was the prerequisite for David to build the Beis HaMikdash. So we see that peace, it wasn't just that was the point that David made the request. That is, and it's not just talking about, the pasuk is not just talking about Amalek. The Gemara applies it to Amalek. Because Amalek is the eternal enemy of the Jew. As I always mention, Amalek, you shouldn't think it's a war of aggression against Amalek. When al pi halacha we have to fight Amalek, it's a war of defense. In other words, because the Navi or the Urim V'Tumim let us know that if we don't destroy Amalek now, Amalek is going to come and destroy us. There isn't a mitzvah of destroying Amalek every day of the year. It's only when the Navi tells you, or the Urim V'Tumim gives consent, that is mitzvah, because the es hachatoyim es Amalek is the way the pasuk is mentioned in Shmuel. Destroy the sinners Amalek, and the pasuk says pakadati es hasher asa Amalek. I remember my father would point out there's a difference between zacharti and pakadati. Zacharti means I remembered. Pakadati means there is a situation now that reminds about the past. Something, there is a connection between the present and the past. In other words, the war against Amalek is not a war. Is not a war against the war against Amalek isn't just that any day you go and you fight Amalek. You need a Navi. Milchama Lashem b'Amalek midor dor. The Navi has to come to tell you to fight Amalek, or even if a Navi doesn't, if somehow through the Urim v'Tumim you get that message. Urim v'Tumim, though, you have to request. So you get the message. In other words, it's for specific times when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is reminded, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu figuratively is reminded because of the way Amalek is acting now about the original Amalek who came and attacked the Jewish people. So we could say that the war against Amalek is a war of self-defense, except that God tells us, you get them first. Don't wait for them to come and get you. And in a sense, just as a side point, so the Tzoras HaMidyanim, V'kisim osam kitzorim heim lechem b'nichlehem asher niklu lechem al dvar po'or. So the Medrash Tanchuma says, Habar laharcha hashkem lahargo. Now we don't see here that Midian was at this point. They originally had planned to go to war against the Jewish people, but they didn't start any military. They didn't start any military action yet against the Jewish people. In a sense, they were trying to bring the Jew down so that they later could do military action. So once an enemy is preparing to attack the Jewish people, that represents military action against the Jew. You don't have to wait for them to shoot the first bullet. There was those that were critical. Of course, it was an act of war legally, but in 1967, there were those critical of Israel. Because Israel went to war, Nasser sat down, did all kinds of things, but the first bullet was shot by Israel, because you don't wait for the first bullet. Once they take action that initiates war, even though they didn't shoot anybody at that point. So that's part of self-defense also. But in any case, so the mitzvah of destroying Amalek, the mitzvah of destroying Amalek is because Amalek is an enemy, and especially when the Navi comes and tells me about Amalek, or I know it through the Urim V'Tumim, it means that there are aggressors. And so only when there is peace, first we have to get rid of Amalek, and then there is a mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash, because peace is a prerequisite. Peace is a prerequisite for building the Beis HaMikdash. That's why the Gemara says, according to Rashi and the Tosas Rid, Bizman Sheyeh Shalom, when there is peace. In other words, because peace is identified with the building of the Beis HaMikdash, because that's a prerequisite for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. But we have to understand, the reason for it. And I think, now, in this week's Sedra also, we have the counting of the different tribes. So everybody is counted the everybody's counted everybody's counted from the age of 20 up, but Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi is counted from Ben Chodesh Lamala, from 30 days and up. Why is it that way? Why from 30 days and up? Okay, you want to make a separate count? Make a separate count. Because they're not getting a portion in the land. But why is Shevet Levi counted from 30 days and up? And the simple answer is, The goal that the Torah has for the Jewish people. In other words, we need an army. We need soldiers because we have to defend the Jewish people. Because the Jewish people have to defend themselves. But being a soldier is not the goal. Being soldiers is not the goal of the Jewish people. That's not what our essence has to be. Being a soldier is a necessity, but our personality has to be one of Ovdei Hashem, of serving God. The training a child gets from his very big youth, that creates the personality. When you become an adult, you learn skills. But that doesn't create your personality. The personality is created. The personality is created early on. So in other words, so that the halacha wants to emphasize, yes, we have to have an army. And there's a mitzvah to have an army. There's a mitzvah to fight. It's not a mitzvah fighting, it's a mitzvah defending. Defending the Jewish people. And we have to have very good soldiers, and we need training for soldiers. But we have to view being a soldier as being a skill that we acquire, not who our personality is. Our personality has to be one of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And who is the symbol of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That was Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi was the symbol of service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's in other words, because the ultimate goal is to not have an army, not to have a need for soldiers. That's the ultimate goal. So Bizman Shiyeh Shalom. Since the ultimate goal is service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to emphasize this point, true service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't manifest itself in other words, there is a certain conflict between the soldier personality between the soldier personality and the personality of service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, yes, we have to be soldiers, but that's only skills that we have to acquire. In formulating our personality, and in formulating the personality of the Jewish people, it's important, Bizman Shiyeh Shalom, because to emphasize that the goal is not being soldiers, the goal is being servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Being servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this, David HaMelech wanted to build a Beis HaMikdash. So the Har Beit Damash Shafachta. Now David, when he spilled blood, it was blood that was spilled for it was blood that was spilled for defense of the Jewish people. It was sanctioned by the Halacha. But the Beis HaMikdash had to be the symbol of the ultimate goal of the Jewish people. And the ultimate goal of the Jewish people, is not to have a need, to fight. Of course, we have to fight. We have to defend the Jewish people. We have such an obligation. But the ultimate goal is being a serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I would say that the Kohen Meshuach Mochama, he is the chaplain that went out to the army. He can't become a Kohen Gadol. He can't become a Kohen Gadol. So the answer is no. The job of the Kohen Meshuach Mochama was, on the contrary, he was to emphasize. The Kohen Meshuach Mochama was the one who emphasized to the Jewish people before a war. He would talk to them. Of course, he told them, "Don't be scared." But part of the parsha was Mihayisha Shabana Bayis, who is the person who bought a house. In other words, the ultimate goal, the Lo Chanocho, the ultimate goal is not the war. The ultimate goal is coming back and living in Eretz Yisrael. That was the ultimate goal, and it was the job of the Meshuach Mochama. The job of the Meshuach Mochama, and the Rambam Sefer Mitzvah says, besides the Pesukim, he used to talk to them all kinds of things that were important. In other words, it was to emphasize to them the idea that, yes, war is necessary, and it's sanctioned by the Halacha, and God tells you, and God is going to help you. But the ultimate goal is Shalom, is peace. The ultimate goal is Shalom, is peace. So this was why here in this week's Sedra. So as Brishi Shalom comes together, V'hayisol Zarachra Bris Kehunas Olam, because the Bris Kehunas Olam, being the Kohen, especially by Pinchas, it was represented the idea of Kohen Gadol. It was because, yes, Pinchas did kill Zimri. It did kill Zimri, but it was necessary. That was necessary in order to bring peace to the Jewish people. So that's why it's Brishi Shalom. He has my covenant of peace, because Pinchas was not motivated by the idea of killing. On the contrary, he was motivated by the idea of saving lives. That's right.
That's your call. You answered my question.
Okay.
I live on it.
I know what your question was.
Well, you just answered. Thank you.
Taking off the tables, I'll leave the tablecloths on, and I'd like to wish everybody a wonderful era. Shabbos and in about 3 minutes we're davening.